And God keeps saying that. He said in verse 11, He says it again in verse 13, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Done all to stand. Stand. Notice this word here keeps coming out. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance of preaching may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now notice, if you will, in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." And then Paul begins to tell these people how to put on the armor, that they're a soldier, that they're fixing to go to war, they're fixing to have a fight. And since you're going to have a battle and you're going to have a fight, then you have to have all the armor, have to have all the weapons, have to have the sword of the Spirit, have to have everything equipped as a soldier to do the work of God. And I sit out there, Brother Damon and I went out there last year to preach and went back this year. And I don't know, that just kind of mystified me, was where Custard was and where he took his last stand. And I drove back out there again. And as I got up there, and I looked at that big, vast graveyard. And I looked at all those men that had been buried there. Then I got up on the hill, and I looked where those men had died, or where they'd fallen in battle, where every man fell. They drove down a peg, or cement peg is there, where every man, exactly where he fell, there's a peg all over that battlefield that happened way back yonder in 1876, over 100 years ago. But people have come from far and near to see where men fell. And you better take heed this night. This night, God is going to speak to some hearts. You're here tonight, and you say, "Brother Jack, I stood for God. I've done this. I've done that." Oh, you got to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Oh, you got to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. That's all you got to do to fall. And I began to study the life of this man Custard. I've done it for years. I read all these generals' life. But Custard was a man, and he'd won a lot of battles. And there at Gettysburg, he won a great battle at Gettysburg. And the South was defeated. But he never was a tried soldier, because Jeb Stuart and the 7,000 cavalry of the North of the South was not there. And so he came on, and he took 1,000 soldiers, and he'd ride into an Indian nation of 300 or 400 unarmed men, and slaughtered and killed and what have you, and won many battles. But he was still not a tried soldier until this day. And there comes that day in every man's life. Comes that day in every man's life. And you'll get that test to find out whether you're a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You'll find out if you've been entangled with the affairs of this life. That's exactly what happened to Custard. Exactly what happened to Custard. I began to read about this man. I walked in there the other day, Brother Damon and I, as we walked down that corridor there, and I came to his clothes. You know, I can always tell a lot about people's clothes. You say, "Well, Brother Jack, you talk about how well dressed." Well, some people are overdressed. And Custard had on the day he was killed, Brother, he had on a beaten white latigo suit. I mean, like something that you would put on a dress parade. Something like you would wear to a show somewhere. And he just thought this was just a little light battle, and he'd go into it, and he was dressed because he had all the photographers there. He said, "Brother Jack, what are you trying to say?" This man here overestimated himself. He overestimated himself. This man, I looked at his, I looked at it, it was not a uniform of a soldier. It was beaten as white as this thing I got on right now, and it was made out of leather, and it had the frail and the gold on it, and here this man was, all dressed up, where the world could see him in victory, and take his picture, and all the enemies were dead, and he could just see himself. Overestimated himself. And here's what happens in the life of a Christian. The Bible says very plainly to you, have no confidence in the flesh. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. This Bible tells us all the way through that we're to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and a good soldier just stays close to the captain. Close to the captain. Takes the right command from the captain. And listen to what the commanding chief says. This man overestimated himself. Now, there's some things in Custer's life, and you can read if you want to, but you'll always find this. This man here was looking for the glory. He was looking for the glory. This man here wanted the glory in his lifetime. And when he was on dress parade, he wore his hair long and yellow. And they called him Yellow Hair because his hair was one of the most prized things of his. When I see a man like that, I know that that man is looking for the glory for himself. And I ain't never seen an attack, even amongst little boys that big. Little boys that big are more concerned about their hair than girls was when I was a little boy. I went in a place the other day, and a bunch of boys were standing, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, and they was putting their hair in place. And when I was a kid, honest before God, Mama whipped me every day and said, Jack, please comb your hair. Please comb your hair. And all mothers were that way when I was a child. But now, they want to look like a movie star. That's exactly what was on this man right here. Yellow hair. Yellow hair. Had it all curled. Had it all pretty. God bless your sweet little heart. And he probably sprayed it where the wind couldn't blow any of it. And he just, here he went into battle. He's going to be a big soldier. He's got him a white suit on in the desert plains of the north of Thunder. And here this man comes, and this man is wanting the glory for himself. Not only that, but this man, as I studied in life, there's a thing that he had in his mind, and that was to be the President of the United States. This man had got it on his mind that he's going to be the big dog, the head dog. And this man's going to be the commanding chief of the United States Army. And this man made up his mind that he's going to be the president. And if you're not careful, you'll go back to the nursery and you'll be the head of the nursery because you can't be the president of the United States. You're too stupid. And you know that. And so then you're not going to be the head of the United States, so I'm going to be the chairman of the Board of Deacons. You've got to be over something. You've got to be the head of something. If it's just over the commode, you've got to be the head of something. And so you live. You live your life. Let me be over something. You go home. Let me be over this house. You go to the job. Let me be over this job. You want to boss everybody. And this was the thing wrong with this man's life. This man had a problem. This man could never take a problem from a commanding general. If you study the life of Custer, Custer was a man who could give orders real good, but he never could take them. And Brother Barney, I found out in 28 years of preaching that God never uses a man in a pastorate that couldn't take any orders from the man that pastored him.
Amen. Yes.
If you can't take orders, neither will you ever be able to give them.
Right.
You better listen real close. You better listen real close tonight, because God wants to speak to you. This man lived and wanted the praise of man. He had this photographer from New York Gazette there. And he just wanted to take the pictures and send it back. And the whole world, in 1876, everybody knew they was going into battle. And they was having a big fire in New York City. And the whole world was waiting for the news about Custer defeating the Indians. The Indians had some other thoughts about it. There was a man. There was a man named Sitting Bull. There was a man named Crazy Horse. And there was a man named Red Cloud. They had other ideas about it. They had other ideas about this thing. But this man really thought that this was just going to be a minor battle. Minor battle. He just said, with 265 men, 282 men, he rode into that Indian nation. About 400 went around the other side. And he said, it's all I need. He underestimated the power of the enemy. He thought it was just going to be a minor battle. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it'll be usually the minor battle that takes you completely out of the battle. It'll be some little minor something that'll take you from out of the church. Did you ever notice when you're visiting and you knock on doors and you ask people, "Sir," you say, "Yes, I'm saved." Or, "Sir, I went to church for 5 or 6 years, but I got out." And did you ever notice every one of them gives you some little silly something, the reason they got out? A preacher said something to me. My wife had an argument. They had a little confusion down that church. Did you ever notice how minor they sound to you? But that's exactly what the devil will do to you. It'll be some little minor thing that gets you out of the work of God. Just a little minor decision you make. It might just be a little new car you buy. It might just be just anything. It might be the next house that you buy. That might be the thing that gets you out of the will of God. You know, the devil just wants to do one thing, and that's get you out of the will of God. He don't care if you draw that picture, just as long as you do it out of the will of God. He don't care where you work. He don't care where you go. He don't care what you do, as long as you do it out of the will of God. All the devil cares. The devil really don't care how busy you get in the church, as long as you don't do it in the will of God. This man here underrated the power of his enemy. He told his guides, he told those Indians and Crows, said, "Go down there and check it out." They went back, they came back, and they said, "Mr. Custard, we'd like to have you to know that there's 12,000 Indians camped on that river, on that Snake River." And he said, "That can't be." "Why, that can't be. It's not that many." He didn't know that the Cheyennes had jumped the reservation. He didn't know that the Apahos had jumped the reservation. He didn't know that all them Sioux were there. But there were 2,500 fighting men with repeater rifles there. And he had 2,682 going in there with single-shot rifles. He underrated the power of his enemy. And you and I live our lives, and we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. He underrated his enemy. There was a man there called Sitting Bull. And Sitting Bull had never signed a peace treaty with a white man, because he knew a white man's word wasn't no good. He knew that a white man wouldn't keep his word. And Sitting Bull never signed a peace treaty. Fighting Bull was a fighting man. Sitting Bull was a fighting man. He had fighting soldiers. And every the Crows feared him. Everybody feared him. He had 1,000 men that were fighting. He had them armed with repeater rifles. Unrated made his enemy. Just rode in there like a fool. I get to thinking about the way Christians live today. The devil is the ruler of this world. The devil is the ruler of this flesh. And the devil is the ruler of all religion. And the devil knows your name. Listen, Sitting Bull had been 30 days. I read Sitting Bull's life. Sitting Bull had sat out under Brother John for nearly 40 days. And he'd take a sharp knife out of his pocket. He had his shirt off. And he'd take his knife, raise the sharp, and he'd just take his arm like that and strip a piece off a quarter of an inch wide and just thin deep and strip it off. And it'd be that long. Next day, another piece. Next day, another piece. Come on down into the meat until he'd laid 50 strips of meat off his arm in front of his God. And his God told him, he said, "Your hair is going to die on that mountainside, and all of his army, I'm going to give them to you." And Sitting Bull got up and thanked the Great Spirit, walked out and told his men, he said, "I've heard from another world. Yellow hair belongs to us." Yellow hair never prayed. He didn't have no God but himself. And he walked against a man who lived in a demon world. And the demons of hell talked to him and walked with him. And if you think that you can fight against the principalities and powers without God, you're a fool. Yeah. Nowadays, we're fighting not against flesh and blood. And I'm going to tell you this. When Sitting Bull told his men, said, "When they're dead, don't you touch one gun. Don't you touch one pair of breeches." He said, "The Great Spirit told me don't touch nothing. And Sitting Bull's men, when they killed them soldiers, they fell and took everything they had. And Sitting Bull never won another victory. And Sitting Bull told his men the reason they never won another victory is because the Great Spirit was grieved. You said, where did he get that, Brother Jack? The demon spirit got that out of the book of Joshua. Uh-huh. Trying to copy God. Said, don't fall on him, spoil. How did that demon know that? He was probably there. He's probably there. But you listen real closely. When you underrate the power of the enemy, you're fixing to lose. 12,000 men then. The Bible says that he's like a roaring lion. Or he walking about seeking whom he may defile. The Bible says, stand, my brethren, in the power of his might, not your might. God's might. This Bible said, put on the whole armor of God. But the underrated in his enemy. Underrated his enemy. You say, who was that, Brother Wood? Red Cloud. He's the head of the Cheyennes. And them Cheyennes had been on the nation. They had them down there and they starved them to death. And the Americans had stole all the food, butchered all the cattle, sold all the flour, took their guns away from them. And then the Indians broke and run. And they was back up there and they're mad. They're hungry. They're starved. And all they could see was some fast wagon trains. And he's going to fight like the devil. And this little church right here, you've banded together. And you've come together. And you've declared war on the devil. And if you think he ain't going to fight back, you're badly mistaken. If you don't think he's going to come in our ranks and knock the weak on fire, you're badly wrong. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Ever strive your fall.
Amen.
You get behind. You get out of step. And you'll fall. God has chosen this little church to do his job. God chose her. You get out of step. You get to straggling back there. And the enemy will get you. He's walking about like a roaring lion. And I want to say this. The devil is second only to God. You can't handle him. You can't handle him. And you'll never be satisfied. You live in this church. You saved him. Call him. You'll never be satisfied with a dead church. You never will be. You never will be. He underrated the power of his enemy. Can you imagine what that man thought as he charged across that Snake River and run in there, and they said between 12 and 18,000 Indians camped there. Him with 260 or 282 men with their sabers drawn. Lord have mercy. It was a slaughter. It was a slaughter. Why, Brother Jack? He underrated the wisdom of his guide. Would you listen to this very closely? The Crow Indians, if you've read the history of the Crow, he lived in Montana. That was his home. The Crows, some of my people must have come from them. They was the best horse traders that ever was. There's the smartest Indian about a horse that there was. They were one of the first mounted Indians. That Crow, always. I've seen a picture of his horse. You could stick both hands in the front on his chest. What a mighty horse that Crow was riding. And that Crow come running back, and he said, General, he said, you better get out of here, because he said, there's thousands of them. But you see, that Crow, he was born and raised on that Snake River. That Crow had been run out by the Sioux. You see, the Crow knew the enemy. And the Crow knew the enemy territory. And the Crow knew how to get away. And the Crow knew that it wasn't no time to fight. And Yellow Hair said, get out of my way. I'm fixing to kill every Indian in this valley. You know what that Crow did? He said goodbye. He was on a horse about 16 hands high, Dad. Horse that weighed about 1,200 pounds, I can tell by looking at him. And one of the most powerful, he probably stole him out of a thoroughbred ranch somewhere. And that Crow said, adios. And that Crow went south while they went north in the battle. when the guide, our guide, the Holy Spirit, he knows the enemy. He knows the enemy. He knows the territory. And he knows you. He knows your power. He knows your force. And he knows what the enemy can do to you. And when he says, get out of here, you better get out of here. When he says, get up a little closer, you better get up a little closer. You better pay attention to the guide. Because it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And if you ever accomplish anything, be anything, or mount anything, it's because the Spirit of God works in your life. And if he don't work, you'll be a failure. Because you're fighting an unknown spirit. It's a dark, black, wicked spirit. But thank God the Spirit of God knows all things. He would listen to his guy. You see, the reason he would listen to the guy, because he'd have a lot of victory. The dangerous place for you to live is where you've had a lot of victory. Because see, if you've had a lot of victory, you better go on from victory to victory. And when you've had a little victory in your life, and sometimes that victory puffs you up, and you say, boy, I got the power over that. I got the power. And God set me free from that. And you got all this power. You got all these victories. Just enough to puff you up and make you jump on the enemy without a guide. I remember an Indian. He said to me one night, I said to Lucci, where are we at? He said, the house is out of way. I've told this before. But I remember me telling that dumb Indian that never been to school, never been to college, couldn't read or write his name. I told that dumb Indian, look, I got a compass. And the Indian said, I don't know about a compass. I can't read it. But the house is out of way. I said, oh, the house is out of way. But you know what? I finally decided that I wasn't going to get in that jungle of South America without Lucci. You see, he was the guy. And I just followed Lucci, and before you know it, I heard him splash across that San Carlos. And before you know it, I could see the light that was on the left on in the back of my house. You see, that Indian didn't know how to read a compass, but he knew every tree in that jungle. I'm going to tell you something about the Holy Spirit of God. He may not act good like you and I do, but he knows the enemy. And he knows the enemy's territory. And he knows every weakness in your life. And he knows whether you're equipped to fight that battle or not. And when he says get out, you better get out. He underrated the wisdom of the guide. This crow knew the Sioux. He knew what he was doing. And I want to say this. This man here, Custer, could have sat down, and the guide says you can't do it. And all he had to do, because he had about nearly 700 men, he could have sat down with them 700, waited 2 days for all of the trains to come, the supplies to come, for the soldier to come, and then patient, and God would have brought him to victory. No. Oh, got me a photographer here. They're having a big fire back in New York City. And I want to get to the fastest telegram with a fast runner and send the telegram that I have conquered the Sioux Nation. I don't want any other general to come in. I don't want anybody else to come in. I want to do it myself. Well, you listen to me tonight. He underestimated the wisdom of the guy. Now, the minute you do that, he divided his forces. He said, I want us 282 men to go here. You 400-something men, go back and cut them off when they start running. Can you imagine 12,000 Indians running from 282 men? Can you imagine a man that's got his wife and his 7 or 8 children? Ain't got nothing but an axe in his hand. Can you imagine that man running and him a complete savage? And he's on his own land and he's in his own valley and he's drinking out of his own river. And can you imagine a fool that thinks that this man is going to run? You think the devil's going to leave? It's his territory. He's the God of this world. This world is his, he thinks. The Bible said he's the God of this world. And you're not going to run him nowhere. But here they come. Here they come. This man divided his forces. And you know what the devil will do? The minute he gets you away, the minute he gets you out, He'll divide you. Man from his wife. Man from his church. You know, it's a strange thing around here, around this church. It's really awful. When something goes wrong inside of this church, when a man begins to weaken, and the brethren begin to pray for him, isn't it strange how that man takes on a resentment? And I said to a lady the other night, would you like for us to talk to you? She said, no, he'd resent it. Resent what? Resent a bunch of men that cares, that prays for him. And I went over to his house that night and drove up in the front, and there was two preachers standing there in the yard. Both of them looked like two hippies. I've never seen them since. But for 3 years, he sat on this front pew and said, preach on, Brother Wood. Yeah. Let me tell you all something. Let me tell you all something. You'll be next. You'll be next. You'll be next. But you know the bad part about it? You're never going to be satisfied. And a little hippie type of religion. Of course, God is just in one place for the child of God. This man here divided his forces. He divided his forces. Oh, my soul. Don't get divided from your pastor. Don't get divided from your Bible teacher. Don't get divided from the men of God, the church, people that care. Don't get divided. When you divide your forces, you're a certain duck for the devil. The fourth thing I want you to know, so the fifth thing, he was too far from the supply line. Well, I imagine when he saw those thousands of Indians charge, he said, my soul. Down the road there, about 35 miles from here, is two big cannons. And if I had those two big cannons just to pull the trigger one time, he said, boy, I could stop this whole thing. The cannon was left behind. Ammunition left behind. The men and the horses are left behind. Soldiers are left behind. And you're way out there in the front, all by yourself. Be careful, child of God. Adolf Hitler thought he was a smart man. And the Russians had fought Napoleon the same way. And the Russians just backed up, and backed up, and backed up. And every time they backed up, they burned. And they backed up and they burned. All they had to read was the life of Napoleon. He'd found it out! And they backed up, and backed up, and backed up! Till they got to Stalingrad. And they stopped and fought and burned and just waited a few days till they got 50 below zero. And them tank motors busted. And every horse cavalry died. And they said, now, Hitler, it's time for you to have some of what we got. But they marched him all the way back to Berlin. You see, them Russians fought that way all the way. He was too far from his supply. We got a supply line here. Saturday night, you can get a little nourishment. Wednesday night, you can get a little nourishment. Thursday night, you can go out and visit and get a little nourishment. You get a little nourishment in fellowship. You get a little nourishment as you walk with the children of God. But if you're not careful, you get too far from the supply line. And God can't get your supplies to you. You been there? You think I just drove to Rexburg, Idaho to talk to myself? You think I just drove over those mountains to pay a gas bill? You think I just wanted to see? I done seen it. I went to Rexburg, Idaho to sit down and talk to a missionary in this church. And I began to look that field over and walk over that field. Why? Because he's a long way from the supply line. Why do you think my phone bill runs like it does? Because I called him and talked to him and encouraged him in the Lord. Called Brother Dawes. Called a young preacher yesterday on the phone. I said, Jim Ballard. He said, yes, sir. I said, this is Jack Wood. He said, what are you calling me for? I said, Jim, I've been praying for you. I got your name right down in the front of my Bible. And I've been praying for you, Jim Ballard. God called you to go to Austria. God got me. I said, Jim, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. That boy started crying on the telephone. He said, preacher, thank God for this telephone call. Got too far from the supply line. That's what happened to Custer. And me and you ain't no different, Custer. This Bible said, find him out, brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. That's in Jesus. Not in yourself. not in your wisdom, not in your knowledge, but be strong in the Lord. The last thing I want you to notice was, he was on the enemy's ground. God built an independent Baptist local church. He didn't build like this. He was on the enemy's ground. And the enemy knew every inch of it. The enemy sat right there and watched him. Them scouts knew for days that he's coming. They could see the dust on those plains of Montana. Why, man, you can drive on a hill and you can look as far as a human eye can see, and you can see him coming. And then he just sit there and wait. And they got to that big hill. And they went down in that valley. And just as they got on that valley, they mean, and that desert sun, and there wasn't a drop of water. No! And no supply. And no reinforcement. Nobody coming to see about it. When the devil got him on his own ground, the devil ground him into the ground. And he died right there. And he's buried as a hero, but I can't even move. The world says he's a fool. Every military man says he's a fool. And I said he was a fool. And I imagine as that crew rode into the camp, got off that great horse he's riding, and he asked the squaw, said, how went the battle? He said, I don't know, but I don't know which way went the crew. And I bet that crew, and she said, you didn't stay with the general? And I imagine he looked at her and said, general, he's big fool. He's big fool. Miss, why didn't you kill you? He said, me and me. Enemy knew every inch. But the bad part about this thing, Brother John, when this battle was going on, the guide was gone. The guide was gone. If you'll study that battle, there was mass confusion. Brother Damon and I, we sat down, we watched that thing on a reel. It was mass confusion. The Indians drove the pictures of it after. It was mass confusion. Some of them troops were green. Mass confusion. Why? The guide was gone. When the Holy Spirit withdraws from you, and I'm not saying he leaves you, but I'm talking about his leadership and him guiding you and him directing you, and you being filled with the Spirit of God, when he's gone, there's mass confusion. You're just a set and done for the devil. Mass confusion. He's on enemy's ground. Tell the tide came. One of them soldiers out of Reno's division, they went to the central wire. All the people in New York having that big fire, they sent Custer's whole army. Dead. They said the whole world fire stopped. They said the whole market, buying and selling, everything stopped. They said the whole nation was in shock. Why? Because a fool died. And when one of God's men fall, the church stands in shock. When one of God's men fall, the world stands in shock. If you're not careful, the Bible says very clearly, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power, and put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Why, Brother Jack? You're on the enemy's ground. We live on the enemy's territory. We live in a dark kingdom. But we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. But you've got to walk careful, patient. The Bible says very clearly, he that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And oh, you said, I belong to Shady Acre Baptist Church. I'm a fundamental independent Bible believer. Be careful. Be real careful. This might be your last thing. How many times has the telephone rang in the night? And they said, Brother Jack, one of your best friends just went down. Missionary on the foreign field went down. Missionary over here went down. Preacher over here went down. Had to go down to the giant just like Christians did. They begin to dress different. They begin to act different. They begin to underrate the devil, overrate themselves. Down they went. You go the same way. You go the same way. You're not any different. You're not any different. You're just a hunk of flesh. Without God, you stink to that. And you go down just like me. Because you see, while you sleep in your bed, as a crazy horse, a sitting bull, playing with a demon power, trying to get your life. While you lay in bed and sleep, there's a principality and a power and a ruler of the darkness and a demon world that hates God and hates Christ and hates the church and hates souls and damns lives. And he's trying to get you in his grasp. And he moves you like he did Custer. And he moves you. And he moves you. And he moves you. And then he moves you off the board. Go. 28 years. Great. I've buried a lot more than Custer has. He just lost 282. I've seen him go down by the thousand. And me and you are not above it. The Bible said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You better get that tonight. His might. Let's pray. The power of His might. All the devil wants to do is drive a little wedge, just a little teeny wedge, between you and your brother, you and your sister. Just an unkind word, just an ungracious word. All the devil wants to do is get you on his territory. Down you go, down you go. You better be careful. You better walk very careful. You better walk very careful. You better walk very cautious. In this lifetime, the devil walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I wonder tonight you're here. You say, Brother, well, I've never been saved. God has saved you tonight. God will change your life, yes, He will. He's able to save you. He said, Brother Wood, I'm already saved. Already know I'm saved. Brother Wood, I'm like Custer. I'm too far from the supply line. I'm too far from the enemy's territory. Get back on solid ground. Get back on solid ground. Father, bless this message tonight. Speak to these hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
The false stand. The one stand. Stranger.